Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Opera Luscious, where opera meets lifestyle. I am your host, opera singer Bree Cooper. I am so glad you have joined me today. And first of all, I want to thank my sponsors for this show. Kiana Clothing of California, if you haven't heard about them, they are amazing. They've been such great supporters for performing artists, especially. I know me as a classical singer, the first time I actually wore their brand was when I had a photo shoot to do for a magazine, and the stylist presented me with a few outfits, and the one that I selected, I put on, and I just felt so good, so confident, so beautiful. I just felt really powerful in the outfit. So, of course, I went on to figure out who the brand was. I researched, and fast forward, they have become one of my biggest supporters. So if you are a classical singer or in the creative arts, the performing arts, and you need a go-to outfit and you're of the curvier type, a fluffy girl, you know, I suggest you go to Kiana Clothing and really check out some of their outfits. It's kiana.com. And Kiana has styled curvy women since its collection of contemporary plus size dresses and separates since 1996. 100% of their collection is designed and manufactured in the U.S. And I, I kind of interact with one of the designers on Instagram. She is just amazing. But the entire company, just working with them, their showroom, anytime I've reached out to them for an event I need to do, they are so supportive. And I just stand by the company. I stand by the brand itself. I stand by what they do for women. And I find that to be really, really important, and it's very exciting. So I hope you go and check out some of their outfits and just see what they have in store for you. And my next sponsor is Thrive Market, and they give us up to 50% off of name brand organic brands. Deliver to your door. This is a really great partnership that I have with them. You can get 25% off plus free shipping on your first order plus 30-day complimentary trial. Just use the code OPERALUSCIOUS25. And as well as Kiana Clothing, you can use my code for Kiana.com, 25% off orders of $100 or more. Just use Bree Cooper, B-R-I Cooper, and you will cash in on those savings, which is great. And again, I only really try to align myself with brands that really speak to me as a performing artist and speak to the community of performing and creative artists and do their best to kind of support the cause. So I just don't, you know, align myself with everybody or just anybody. Just so you know, just a disclaimer there. So I want to go on into what's happening in the world of opera. So with opera, there was recently a performance at the Royal Opera House, and we are talking about André Chénier as well as Tosca. If you are not familiar with those two operas, I suggest you Google them, go check them out online. Look out the synopsis, and the Tosca was one of the first operas that I really started to research when I was in college. I really understood the characters, and it just meant so much to me. And, of course, you learn the arias and everything, but one of the first big arias I had was Vici d'Arte from Tosca. It was just something that, yes, I'm a mezzo, but I definitely had my fun with the soprano repertoire. But it was something that I just really loved, and I loved, of course, the character, and all of the different characters in it. So Royal Opera House has done a production of André Chénier as well as Tosca. And from what I'm hearing, the word on the street is that these two productions were just amazing, and it is a real nod to tradition, a successful nod to tradition, because so often these days you have these opera companies that, because they're trying to retain their audiences, they have to do this shock effect, or they have to put they have to kind of water everything down for an audience. And I always come from the perspective that I refuse to insult anyone's intelligence. I think opera is really such a special, special art form in itself that we do an injustice if we try to water it down. And yes, I want it to be approachable for everyone as well. But at the same time, there's something to be said for keeping an opera kind of in its truest state. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with bowing down to tradition and a period piece. And that's what they did with these two productions. So I'm going to actually try to arrange a little interview with some of the artists and also one of the reviewers who actually saw both of the operas and gave some great feedback. And so I wanted to explore this topic even more about the importance of, even today, it is so important that we just kind of hold to some of the nostalgia in our art form, especially in opera. So I suggest you go check out, first of all, check out the synopsis of André Chénier and also Tosca. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you don't love about it. And then your homework. Now, I know the lead singers in this, but what I'd like you to do is email me the names of the principal tenors and tell me one thing about them, and I will send you something very special from our boutique, our Opera Luscious boutique, and you can email me and my staff, or my staff and I, at operaluscious@gmail.com. The link is also in our bio. And so that's what I wanted to share and talk about as far as in the world of opera, some of the new things that, you know, that's going on with the productions. I know some of you are into opera, some of you are not. Some of you are here on this station because you want to find out more, and I try to really present that to you. You know, our overall mission for Opera Luscious, which has always been something that I hold true, is that I always wanted to inspire, enhance, educate, and yes, even entertain everyone about the world of opera. So I want there to be something for performing artists as well, resources that we can use, resources that you can take away with, topics that are really just specific and unique to what we experience as performing artists and creative artists as well. It fits into that category. And I also want it to be a space for definitely people who are just curious about the world of opera. And sometimes, you know, because sometimes it's sung in a different language at some of the opera houses, that there might be people out there who are like, I wonder what that's about. I really want to take my family, but I'm a little, you know, nervous about, can I sit through 3 hours of an opera? And yes, you can. You can sit through 3 hours of an opera in a different language because they have subtitles, which are great. And it gives the translation, and you will find that even though you're trying to keep up with the translation, you'll find that the music is what carries you away. You'll find that you'll be able to understand what they're saying just through the music. The music is descriptive in itself. So I encourage all of you to you know, to check out what's happening at your local opera houses. Remember, it doesn't have to be some big grand opera house. It could be the community opera theater. I know that my TV show, Opera Luscious, did a field trip to one of the community theaters they were doing a production of an opera. And you can check that out on our website. And speaking of our website, I wanted to tell you and share the big news. I've been working on this so, so hard and for so long. I kind of got off track last year when I ran for the United States Congress, but I really wanted to get back to this part now that that's over. So I've recreated our website, and I'm so excited about that. My team and I are really excited. It's very clean, and just you can just get the information that you need. It's very open and inviting. I have recipes on there that were inspired by operas. I have guest commentaries and guest editors that are just bringing up some great topics. One of the articles is by Paola Bassanese, and she is talking about what's where the opera, some great tips about that. So you can read more about that. She's our first guest contributor. And you can go to operaluscious.life. Yes, yes, honey. It's a lifestyle website, so I want a .life, and opera gives you life. So that was really important to me. Let me know what you think about it. You can reach out on the contact page. You can email me. I have no problem with that at all. I would love to hear from you. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me if you want to add anything to it. And I'm just looking for it to be very simple. I'm the type of person that even when I was in college and studying music, I just really wanted to have something clean, concise, clear, to the point. So I hope you really like it. And we are now moving into May, where we're actually closing out May. But I wanted to speak with you about May being Mental Health Month. Some people call it Mental Health Awareness Month. And I want to talk to you about some of the resources that are out there. As performing artists, we know that we are always putting ourselves out there. We are always putting ourselves out there for the craft. And if you read about Tosca, she died for, she believed in love and music and the art. I mean, Vici, d'arte, yes, life, the art. I live for art. So as that part is very true, what comes with it is kind of the baggage that goes along with when you put yourself out there. So many of us, especially in the performing and creative arts community, we work so hard on a character. We work so hard on an audition. We work so hard on that next creative piece that we want to bring to fruition. And it's like we're putting a little piece of ourselves out there. And so many people wonder why. Well, I don't know, like I've really started to understand the importance of keeping some things private, because you put so much of yourself out there. And when you do that, if you're not keeping tabs on your own mental health, you know, you could really find yourself in a well. And that would happen to me a lot. It happened to me frequently. I would just wake up one morning and just feel completely just shattered sometimes, you know, just depressed. And you just don't know. I look up and I'm kind of like, how did I get here? Oh, my gosh, you know. But when I kind of give myself the time that I need, which means no Instagram, no social media, rarely do I contact people, I just take a day to myself to kind of recalibrate. And that's what always tells me that I'm doing too much giving and not enough, not really receiving, but not enough to kind of nurture myself along the way. Usually if I've said yes too many times, if I'm thinking about, you know, how can I get this out, this out, this out, and I'm doing it all myself, that, you know, that's when the wheels start coming off the train, as they say, or wheels start coming off the track. One of those. Anyway, so you know what I mean. So, you know, it's really important for us to just utilize some of the resources that we have, and I wanted to bring those to you. One of the resources out there is Crisis Line. You can reach out to its Crisis Text Line, and you can text 841-841, and they will have it's 741-741, excuse me, 741-741. You can text them. They have a trained counselor who will reach back out to you. If there's not one immediately available, what they do is they'll send you a text that says, well, you know, we received your request. Give us a few minutes. We're going to find someone. And then literally in 2 seconds, you know, the counselor comes online and they text, you know, you text with you back and forth. So they ask you about, you know, what's going on today, how can they help you? And the first thing they definitely check is, you know, are you considering suicide? So depending on how you answer that question, I guess it kind of goes through to the next steps. But, you know, sometimes when I reach out to them, it's literally because I am completely overwhelmed. I need a rational person saying whatever it is to just kind of help me see things that I can't, because I'm so freaked out in that one moment. And as a performing artist, you know what I mean. We all go there. So the counselors are well trained. And the cool thing that this is almost the first time that I've ever had anyone say this. What is it that I need? What do you need from them? So when the counselor said, what do you need? What can I do? How can I help you? It really put the onus back on me, and it really made me think, well, gee, what is it they can help me with? What is it exactly? How can I verbalize that or put that in a text? And that in itself, that one action of being able to put my finger on it and say, this is what the problem is, that helps in itself so much, because you start to realize, oh, some of this other stuff that you were worried about really has nothing to do with the problem itself. So then they just kind of help talk you through it. They kind of help get you off of that ledge, and you really do start to feel so much better. I mean, you start to really see what. You start to see, okay, well, why was I concerned about that when really this is the issue? And they remind you that, you know, you are smart and you are strong for actually reaching out for help, which I think is really important, because sometimes, like in my case, I just felt like this is so stupid. Like, my concern over what Sally's concern is could be seen as so minuscule, so minor. People are going through some real stuff out here, and I have definitely gone through a lot of different stuff, but they still don't minimalize it, which I thought is really great, because no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter how big or small your issue is, it's still your issue, and to you, it's still important. And that's kind of one of the things that I learned being a parent, that, you know, my daughter was in first grade, someone would take her pencil and it was the end of the world for her. And then I would think, oh, it's just a stupid pencil, you know, come on. I would never say that to her, but I was just kind of like, what? And then I realized, wow, well, that pencil at her age is important to her. It's hers. It's probably something very special about that pencil. So I made it very important to me as well, because that's where she was. So I really appreciate the fact that they kind of look at the situation and they don't treat you like, oh, this is such a stupid question or concern. It really is important. If it's important to you, then it's important to them as well. And they can also get you help in your area. So if you need resources, what they'll do is they'll send you some links to some resources that you can take a look at and go into further, like research a little further, so you can get in touch with a professional in your area if you need to. And I think that's just really important for the performing arts community and creative arts community as a whole. And even if you spend your life on tour, which, you know, you can dig a hole for yourself in on tour, because it's just kind of you out there. You have your tour family, but you can really get into some I don't know, situations mentally. And just the arts in general, you know, it's really important that we have a space where you can reach out to with a trained professional who can kind of guide you through things. For me, mental health has always been very important. I have a history of family mental illnesses that I don't really talk about too much, but I know the effect that it had on me growing up and the effect that it has on me currently. So I really try to just, you know, think about that and try to be my captain of my own mental health is what I try to do. And then the next resource I want to talk to you about is mental health website, which is mentalhealthamerica.net. You can talk to them. They're at 1-800-273-TALK or 8255. And they have some really great resources for you there as well. And I love your point about, now they've been over there, I think they're one of the longest established mental health organizations in America. So what their, one of their missions, there's several, but one of the missions is to help people get to a point where they are asking for help before it reaches that critical point. So before you snap in the workplace, before you snap on stage, before you start freaking out in an audition, start really thinking about where you are mentally. Do a little check-in with yourself. I know I do that all the time, and there have been times where I had to put myself in timeout, okay? But you don't want to get to that point. You want to reach out when you even feel yourself getting ready to be like, okay, I don't think I have the tools to deal with this, so let me reach out. And really that process really helps because it can kind of give you that voice of reason, and they can also help you with a plan. They can help you see it objectively. They can help you strategize through a situation, and especially when you're freaking out. So I've had several in my life where I had to reach out, and I thought it was important enough for me to reach out because I don't take it lightly. And probably because it had a direct effect on me growing up with my sister, and now I have another sister who's also was recently diagnosed with a mental illness. So, you know, I really try to check in with myself. And one of the great things that you can probably do for yourself and tips that will help you with kind of staying above the fray, you know, kind of keeping in check with yourself. You know, have an animal. If you don't have an animal, get some sort of, I don't know, mini animal companion, like a goldfish. You know, some people aren't dog people, some people aren't cat people, but maybe an animal companion and seeking companionship from an animal. You know, they have compassion dogs now. I know our local police department, they walk dogs, and they encourage, so cute. They encourage people to, like, get a hug from a dog when you're walking to the metro. It's the cutest little thing. So, and it really does help. People go away just feeling so happy, and they have smiles on their faces. So you don't know what people are going through. So I think that's really, really important. Also, don't forget to rely on your spiritual and religious, your religion, your spiritual faith journey and your religion, and having faith, and having faith that you will get through whatever it is, having faith that if it's so difficult that you feel like you can get through it, having faith that you can kind of embrace the situation and work through it and walk through it and walk through it gracefully. And that's easier said than done in a lot of situations, but just having the faith of a mustard seed. Sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves, so having a little humor helps. I mean, I am notorious for laughing at myself. People used to say, oh my God, you have the best stories, but that's because I have some crazy ass stuff that's happened to me. So I have to learn to laugh at myself. And sometimes when you look back on this, I always say, like, my daughter and I have been through so much together. And it's so funny because one day I remember saying, one day we're going to laugh at this. One day we're going to laugh at this situation, even though it's not funny now. So, you know, we have to laugh at ourselves sometimes. And having that work-life balance. I know for creative arts, performing artists, we are doing a 9-to-5. We're trying to work on our career. We're trying to do all of that. But sometimes you have to have that work-life balance because if you're burning the candle at both ends, you will be, you know, just kind of drawn into that well of depression. So you want to make sure that you are staying socially connected, and that means with your friends. And if you don't have any friends, go make some friends. If you don't want to make friends because you're antisocial, then do recreation. Find a hobby that you like, something that's outside of your craft.
Doesn't have to be another music hobby. Doesn't have to be hanging out with musicians. Just they have all these types of meetup groups. I know I've joined a couple of them, and I've had a really good time just meeting different people. No one says you have to be best friends, but it's nice to get along and get around with a group of people that kind of have your same interests. There is one that I did. It was called, like, Try Something You've Never Done Before, and I think we all ended up there's one group that went skydiving, and no, that wasn't for me. But the one we did was, cricket. I had never played cricket, but I love cricket. And a group of us met up, and we learned the game. We had a coach. They taught us the game, and it was so fun. It was so fun. So I want to remind all of you that there is help out there for every one of us, and that as a performing artist, you owe it to yourself to be the captain of your own mental health. And since it is May, I challenge every single person, not only in May because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, but every single day, I challenge you to reach out for help. Do a check-in with yourself. If you're feeling the slightest bit off, as they say, you know, you don't feel 100% happy, sometimes it just means, you know, let me spend a day and really think about what's going on. Also, if you're on any type of medication for depression, I used to teach, and one of the first things I learned teaching kids, and I taught that what they call a level 5, so kids who are emotionally disturbed, one of the first things I was taught was to, if a child is talking about suicide, killing themselves, and they're already on, 9 times out of 10, they're already on an antidepressant, usually that meant that their medication had to be tweaked. So I'm no doctor, but the minute I saw a change, the minute I would listen to these kids and they started talking like they don't usually talk, I would alert their parents. And every single time, the parent has come back to me and said, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for letting me know. Or when a parent comes to me talking about their child at home and about how they're talking about suicide, one, that's never good. But number two, you always have to think if they're already on antidepressants, you have to keep that monitored as well. You have to really realize that sometimes the medication needs to be tweaked itself. Maybe you're progressing. Maybe you're using medication as a tool and you're going to get help from a professional. And now you're at the stage where it's actually working. And maybe you don't need as much as you took before. But that is something you really, really have to keep tabs on. Sometimes you should have a friend, you know, let one good friend know that, hey, I'm taking this. If you see any changes in my behavior or how I'm talking, please let me know. Because you won't be able to, you think it's normal, but people outside of your circle will know, okay? So I challenge everyone to just reach out to these organizations, talk when you need to. The performing artist community is really being hit hard with mental health issues. It distracts us from giving our best work, from doing our best work, from putting out joy into the world and good work into the world because we are distracted with so many mental health issues and concerns, and we don't know how to handle them. Well, I'm telling you today, there are resources out here. 741-741 for crisis text line. You can text them. You can also go to their website. It will prompt you through it. And you can also go to mentalhealthamerica.net, and you can call 1-800-273-8255 to get the help that you need. So, again, you can, reach out to me. I would love to have your questions. Please let me know what you thought of the show today. OperaLuscious@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, OperaLuscious, and that's our Instagram tag, Facebook, OperaLuscious, Twitter, which I'm really not on Twitter that much, neither is the team. So, you can do that too, but that's going to be the last place we check. Because everybody's always in a bad mood on Twitter. But, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us. Use some of the resources. And I hope you have a really great day. We'll see you next week, okay? Or you'll hear from us next week. Bye.